You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hello, listeners. Karen here. And after a bit of a Good Job Brain hiatus, we're trying to get back on our recording track. Thank you, listeners, for being so patient. And I've mentioned online before, I was going through some tough personal kerfuffle. But day to day, it's getting better. And of course, much thanks to my co-hosts, Colin, Dana, and Chris, for the friendship and support and sometimes physical labor they provided during my hard times. And thanks to you guys, listeners, all of your warm messages and just ridiculously unending and loving support. And I was like crying like a deranged cat reading all of your messages and tweets and emails. I'm beyond touched. And so this episode you're about to listen to was recorded a few weeks ago, and it's with all four of us, and it's an all quiz. So enjoy, and happy to be back. Hello, brilliant and breathing bros and brontosauruses. Welcome to Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. This is episode 190. And of course, I'm your humble host, Karen, and we are your cacophony of quiz crunching cookie cohort co-hosts.
I'm Colin.
I'm Dana.
And I'm Chris. I'm the bro, I think.
I guess I'm the brontosaurus.
Maybe.
And I have just a quick bizarre headline here.
Nice.
Have you guys heard of the Airlander 10?
The no. Airlander 10.
Airlander 10.
No.
Airlander is a part plane and part airship. And recently it broke the record because now it is the longest, 50 feet longer than the biggest passenger jets.
Huh.
So okay. It's super long, but it's also half airship and half airplane.
Okay. So meaning what?
It's like an airplane.
I'm imagining a blimp with wings.
Yeah. I'm imagining like
pretty much
chocobo stables. What are we talking about?
Pretty much. So you're sitting inside the balloon versus below the balloon.
Okay.
But anyways, today they're scheduled for the maiden flight for the Airlander 10. People are very excited, but it actually just got 5 hours ago. It got postponed at the last minute due to safety fears. So we don't necessarily know why. And this is a big deal because the Airlander 10. It can stay airborne for around 5 days.
Okay. Yeah.
So
sure.
I mean, it's great for surveillance, for like delivering right.
super
stuff.
Villains.
Super villain layers of communications. But why I want to share this story is because though the technical name is Airlander 10, people have been calling it the flying butt. Because it looks like a giant flying butt.
What?
Well, yeah, plane kind of crossed with an air. It's like a balloon kind of in the middle. Yeah.
I was just imagining like a fat-bodied jet.
Yeah.
But like no, a sausage with wings.
Apparently it looks like a butt. And,
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, it's like a peach with wings.
Yeah. It looks like a Goodyear blimp with a butt crack.
See, to me, it looks like a hot dog bun.
Depends on the angle.
Hot dog, it depends on the angle. Yeah.
It's just it's a gift from all of the angles. That's, actually,
it's really beautiful.
So
it's like it would just be funny to describe it to somebody. It's like it looks like a hot dog in a bun.
And a
it
peach
looks like
with a wings.
So we could say it is natiform, right?
It is completely natiform, and some other forms too, but
so, shaped.
The American English speakers are calling it the flying butt, and the Commonwealth UK friends are calling it the flying bum. So look that up, you guys. It's a cool piece of flying technology,
aeronautic history.
Yeah, being made.
Maybe. Yeah, if they can get it safely flown.
Yeah.
So also big news: the Good Job Brain book is coming out. It is actually, I think it's finished printing. I think it's out of the printers now. And you can head on over to Amazon.com and search for the book, Good Job Brain, the book. And there's an extensive look inside feature where you can preview actually a lot of pages of the book and check it out. All right, without further ado, let's jump into our first general trivia segment, Pop Quiz, Hotshot. Here, I'm going to pick a random card, a Trivial Pursuit card. Here it is. And you guys have your barnyard buzzers. Here we go, Blue Wedge, for People in Places. What was the most populous state in the U.S. for the last time in 1800?
Oh.
Chris.
New York.
Incorrect. Colin.
Virginia.
Correct.
Wow.
Makes sense.
Okay, sure. Yep.
1800.
Yep.
That area.
Oh, yeah. 1800. Yeah. That's, yeah. It probably lost it to New York.
Yeah, exactly.
Time. Yeah, okay.
All right. Pink Wedge for Arts and Entertainment. What comic twosome split in 1956, 10 years after teaming up in Atlantic City?
What?
Colin.
Is that Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis?
Yes.
Oh, I'm thinking like Batman and Robin.
That was my first thing. It was like, yeah. Yes. I was like, oh, did they break up?
Comic twosome.
Yeah, I definitely had to recalibrate. Yeah.
Yellow Wedge for history. What country did the U.S. invade in 1989 in what George Will dubbed an act of hemispheric hygiene?
Whoa.
Wow, Colin, you are...
Is that Panama?
Yes.
Okay. To oust Manuel Noriega.
That was when they played that music, right?
Yeah.
Oh, for the torture music?
When they blasted.
Oh, you're right, like, right.
Loud pop music. Yeah, yep.
All right, Brown Wedge for Science and Nature. What organ was operated on in the first microsurgical procedure in 1921?
What organ was operated in the first microsurgical procedure?
1921. Dana.
The heart?
No.
1921.
It's one of the main ones.
I'm just trying to think, like, what would be available in 1921? Is it the eye?
No. Chris.
The skin.
What's that?
Technically, yes. Okay. But
oh, really?
Wait.
It is the ear.
It's not an organ.
The ear's not an
organ. Hey, man, that's what the card said.
Is it an organ?
Is the ear an organ?
The inside of the ear?
I don't think. Okay. Is the ear an organ?
Is an eyeball
an organ?
I'm getting on.
Is your nose an organ? Now I'm doubting myself.
Your tongue is an organ.
No. Your tongue's not an organ. Muscle. Wait.
I don't know what organ means.
Not every part of your body can be an organ.
It's a musical instrument, right?
Hold on. We got to get to it. Chris is looking this up here. We got to get to the bottom of this.
Hey, Cortana, is the ear an organ?
What is an organ?
Because it says, like, the cochlea is the hearing organ.
Okay, so maybe like, we're thinking internal organs, right? Yeah. Like heart, liver, spleen, you know,
skin
lung.
Skin is an organ.
Yeah, okay, I guess you're right.
I don't know. I'm getting the...
Okay, all right. So we will resolved. The ear is an organ. Mm-hmm. Let's move on.
Okay. Mark as resolved.
Yes.
All right. Green Wedge for Sports and Leisure. What boxing weight class is limited to 190 pounds? Gosh darn it. We always get these questions in public trivia.
190 pounds?
Yeah.
Featherweight.
Incorrect.
Oh.
Is it middleweight?
Incorrect. Mm. Colin.
Heavyweight?
Incorrect. Heavyweight's not 190.
Yeah, I don't know.
Bantamweight.
Incorrect.
No, that's
light,
like,
featherweight.
What is it?
Flyweight. I'm just going to name all the ones. So bantam, heavy,
bantam,
fly,
heavy,
middle.
Light middleweight.
Jeez. I thought for sure.
Regular.
Yeah, fair to middling,
jackal,
fair
jackal,
to middling
jackal.
Weight.
If it's not bantam or flyweight,
yeah. Oh,
I don't know.
Those
heavy.
Are little, though.
Is this women or men?
You're right. They're like,
is this for kids?
No.
It is cruiserweight.
What?
Get out of here, Trivial Pursuit card.
Cruiserweight. Wow. I don't think that was in my punch bowl.
No.
Bruiserweight. Yeah.
Cruiserweight.
Okay.
Cruiser.
All right. Well,
that's a good trivia question.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. This card is a lot of what?
It's like an ear is an organ.
Yeah.
What's cruiserweight?
What's going on?
They found all the holes.
This last question is in German. I don't know.
Okay. Last wedge. Orange wedge for wild card. What vice president once told an audience, "I love California. I grew up in Phoenix."
Wait, who is this?
Okay,
a presidential?
Well, I mean, it sounds like Joe Biden, so but this card is probably a little
vice
bit older.
President?
Dan Quayle?
Correct.
Got
yeah.
it. Got
yeah,
it.
You're right. Got it. Right, of course.
Potato.
Hit nice. All the potatoes. Yep.
Wait, he didn't know what state he grew up in?
Maybe he meant... It's west-ish.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm like, trying to be as charitable
they're
as I
kind of
can.
Neighbors.
Sure.
Unless there is a Phoenix in California, there might
what
be.
They call it California Southwest, though.
Depends on where you are.
Yeah, it depends on where I you guess. Are, though. If you're on the border.
In the southwest part of California.
Well, southeast part of California.
Good job,
yeah.
Brains.
Good job,
Brains.
Sure.
Sure. All right. Well, you guys, this week... We're episode 190.
Wow!
Wow! Oh my goodness. On the road to 200.
The road to 200.
Come on, boys.
Yeah, pack up your covered wagons.
For 9 more episodes, we got to do this.
We got to do this now. Yeah. Every time.
Wow. Well,
it's hard to believe.
And so, since today is episode 190, listeners know that every fifth episode... we don't have a topic, and so we each prepared our own puzzles and quizzes to stump each other and stump you guys, listeners. And so today is our all-quiz bonanza number 38.
Oh my goodness.
All right, all-quiz bonanza. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
All right.
I have a quiz for you guys called We're Number Two.
Yay. Okay.
We're Number Two.
We're Number Two.
This will be a write-in quiz just because I think it'll be more fun for me. So get your writing implements ready and your pad of paper. So the theme of this quiz is I'm going to talk about a lot of things where the number one or the record might be pretty well known, and this quiz is going to see is, can you guys guess or intuit, or maybe you know who's number two? So for example, you know, I think you guys, if I said, you know, what's the tallest mountain in the world? You guys probably all are well aware it's Mount Everest. But if I said, you know, but I said, what's the second highest peak in the world? You know,
is this an example?
It's a little trickier. This is an example. The answer is K2.
K2.
Right. So that's an example of the kind of questions we'll be looking at here. I think a lot of these you guys will know. Some of them you can reason out. Mm. Some of them you'll have to make educated guesses.
This is interesting.
And some of them you'll have to just make wild guesses.
One.
I will tell you what is number one in the given category.
Okay.
And you have to tell me what is number two.
Oh, you're not going to tell us the category.
I will tell you both.
Okay. I thought you were just going to say the name.
Let's get started. I think this will all be...
I'm stalling for time because
I'm putting things out of my hand. This will all be... immediately clear. All right, well, we'll stick with the Olympics. So since the beginning of the modern Olympics, since they restarted the Olympics, let's say, in 1896, the United States of America has won the most medals overall and most in any given category as well. 2,693 as of today, and that number is, of course, changing by the day. Now, this includes both the Summer and the Winter Olympics. So I want you guys to tell me what country is number two on the all-time Olympics medal count chart. Karen, I can tell, has a question. She's got her I have a question face on.
Okay.
Yes.
Does USSR count as the same country as Russia?
No.
Yeah.
Wow.
What country is number two behind the U.S. on the all-time Olympic Games medal count?
Man.
All right. Answers up, everyone. Dana says Russia. Chris says China. Karen says France. None of you got it.
Well, yeah. Can we do it in the second guess?
Karen is geographically.
Yeah, can we do?
Well,
I was going to put Germany, and then I was like, but then there was the split.
Dana is the closest. It is in fact the former Soviet Union.
I was like, they haven't been Russia for that long. It's been but I chickened out.
Yeah, it is with 1,200 medals total overall. The former Soviet Union, and then third is Great Britain.
Yeah. What a tiny... Yeah. Place, yeah. Pumping out medals.
Yeah. Russia's current modern Russia is number 10 on the list. So they're always pretty strong, but they have a ways to go to kind of work their way back up the list.
If you added up all the countries that had been part of the USSR.
Oh, yeah.
With Russia.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Next question. According to Box Office Mojo,
okay.
The world's highest grossing animated film all time is Frozen. Disney's Frozen.
Okay.
It's made a lot of money. No surprise. Can you guys tell me what animated movie sits at number 2?
Oh.
And I'll give you guys a hint.
Yeah.
All right.
It was released in the last 5 years. The number 2 top grossing worldwide animated movie, including traditional computer.
Okay.
All right. Answers up.
Wait.
Oh, sorry.
Really fast.
Oh, sorry.
It was released in the last 5 years?
Released within the last 5 years.
Right.
And it said just any animated picture.
Don't mean to rush you there, Chris. Sorry.
Yeah. That was pretty fast.
Karen and Dana committed pretty early there.
Mm-hmm. I have 2 guesses, but I wrote down 1.
Okay. All right. Karen says Shrek the Third. Chris says Toy Story 3. Dana also says Toy Story 3. Toy Story 3 was until last year the number 2, but a movie from 2015 called Minions.
Oh, really?
Actually passed Toy Story 3.
I'm out of here.
Wow.
I could not believe it either. Yep, Minions has a higher worldwide gross than Toy Story 3. Not by much, I should say.
People love the Minions.
Wow.
And you know what? If you think about globally, it's like, man, you don't really need language to understand the Minions.
That's true.
Yeah.
Next question, moving right along. In our solar system, Jupiter is the largest planet by a good bit. It's Jupiter's pretty big. What is the second largest planet in our solar system?
Shoot, I was just looking at a picture.
Well, you should be a pretty easy one then here.
No, that's the sad part. I didn't retain it. It was a cool picture too.
It is fun to see them all kind of lined up with each other.
Like Earth is tiny.
Yeah, it's not Earth. I'll give you a hint.
It is not Earth.
Zero points on the board.
Still, hey, but you know what? Still anyone's game.
Anybody's game could really
All right, answers up. Karen says Saturn. Chris says Neptune. Dana says Saturn, which is, in fact, the correct answer. So point to Karen and Dana.
Yes. I thought that was a trick
Saturn.
Question.
No tricks.
I was going to put it down.
Because I remember they both had rings. I was like, the big ones all have
rings.
Right. Yeah, that's even without the rings, just to be clear. Even without its rings, which are considered separate from the planet proper, Saturn is the second largest planet.
Just came from the punch bowl.
Right, yep. And then close together at 3 and 4 are Uranus and Neptune. They're pretty close in size. And then Earth.
I like how you purposely said Uranus.
Yeah.
London, England.
Yes.
You may have heard of it. It is the largest city in the EU by population.
Oh.
A little over 8.5 million. Okay. Mm-hmm. What city is second largest in the EU?
By population.
What? This is a major, major, well-known city in the EU.
I'm trying to see if it's a trick.
Second, I'm not trying to trick you guys on any of these. Just to be clear, I'm not trying to trick you guys.
Okay.
All
right.
It's just how well can you reason. All right, answers up. Chris says Paris. Dana says Paris. Karen says Paris. No, it is actually Berlin. Karen, yeah. I feel like for a lot of these, it's going to be like, that was my other chance. Well, yes.
Yeah.
Berlin with a little bit over 3 million people, second largest. So a bit of a drop-off from London.
Yeah.
In tennis, we got a sports question, but you guys can handle this. I'm sure you guys can handle this.
Okay.
In tennis, Australia's Margaret Court holds the record for most Grand Slam women's tournament singles titles. She won 25 of them. There are 2 women tied for number 2 on this list.
Okay.
They each have 22 Grand Slam finals. For 1 point each possible, you write down 2 names here, you can make up some ground in a hurry. Tell me these two women, number two on the list of most Grand Slam women's tournament singles titles. They're very famous women. Right. I'll even give you guys a hint. One is retired and one is still active.
Okay, that's
okay.
All I got.
Okay, all right. Oh, glad that helped.
Chris crossed his answers off.
A good hint should point you in the right direction.
That's right, that's right.
All right.
These are famous tennis women.
All right.
Second only to Margaret Court. All right, answers up. Dana says Serena Williams, yeah. Yes. Steffi G, Steffi Graf, yes. Karen says Venus, assuming Venus Williams, and Martina, assuming you mean Martina Navratilova. And Chris has put Serena Williams and Martina Navratilova.
You're like the hybrid.
Yes, with a couple extra V's in there. Yeah, Chris is the hybrid.
I don't know. I didn't want to put too few V's. So I went overboard.
2 points to Dana.
Oh, yeah. Steffi Graf.
Serena Williams, still active, still kicking butt. I am reasonably confident that Serena is going to catch and probably pass Margaret Court in her career. Steffi Graf, retired, of course, also a fantastic, fantastic, great player. So 2 points to Dana there. 1 point Chris. we'll see. We'll see here. All right. It's still, we got a ways to go.
Okay.
And the last. What if the person wins is the second place?
That's.
Oh, I should have announced that.
We're going for second place.
Yeah, that's
we're going
good.
For second place.
That's right.
All right.
According to Pizza Today.
This is for Karen.
I do some serious research, you guys.
All right.
According to Pizza Today. As of this past year, the largest pizza chain in the United States is Pizza Hut.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. With more than $13 billion in sales. What pizza chain is number two?
Number two as in?
Sales. Total sales.
Oh, total
in
sales.
The U.S.
So not number of store franchises.
Yeah, sorry. Yes, to be clear. Not number of franchises.
And it's restaurants and not pizza manufacturers or anything like that.
Right. From their pizza. Right. Yeah. It's not like, heavy industry and Pizza Incorporated or something like that. Yeah.
Or,
yes.
Okay. From their DiGiorno or
from
something.
Their, right. Right. Yes. Pizza chain. Mm-hmm. Right behind Pizza Hut. And Pizza Hut's been number one for a while.
Mm. Oh.
What pizza chain? Number two.
I think my answer is wrong, but I'm going to say it because I feel clever.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. All right. Answers up. I'm not trying to trick you guys. All right. Answers up. Dana says Sbarro. Ooh. Okay. They could say they sell a lot of pizza in Times Square. Yeah. Karen says
and Papa. Every airport.
Yeah. And every airport. Karen says Papa John's. And Chris, not thinking I'm trying to trick him, says Domino's, perhaps. It is Domino's.
Oh,
yes.
I had Domino's.
Domino's.
It
yeah.
I'm overthinking all of these.
I'm not trying to trick you guys. Right, I'm not trying. And to be fair, Karen, so Papa John's was number three for the last couple years, although this past year, Little Caesars passed Papa John's for number three on the list. Yeah,
that's cool.
Moving up the
Little
ranking.
Little Caesars' logo is, we're number three, but our pizza tastes like number two.
Oh, damn.
Well, I just thought it was Papa John's because they had a spike in increased revenue with all the new places popping up in Colorado.
Right.
And other states that are special like Colorado.
Moving right along. The world's tallest building is the Burj Khalifa in Dubai in the United Arab Emirates. What international city, global city, is home to the world's second tallest building?
I hate the tallest building questions because do you count the antenna? There's like a freestanding. There's all these like classifications.
They all kind of try.
Karen, what did you major in again?
Yeah. they fudge a little bit with the height. Yes, depending on whether you count the freestanding spires and the antennas. But the outright order of the buildings is relatively non-controversial.
All right.
All right.
Ready?
And I'll tell you what. Why don't you guys write down a city and a country? And in case you get the city wrong but the country right, I'll give you half a point. Just in case it comes into play.
Well, now I don't feel like I...
Wait, Burj Khalifa is where?
Burj Khalifa is in Dubai, in the UAE. Oh. Second tallest building. It is not in the UAE. I'm not trying to trick you guys.
Okay. You ready?
Answers, Karen, the architecture major, really stress in here.
I'm going to cross this one out.
Okay. Okay. Karen scratched out Taipei, Taiwan, which was not correct. I'll give you that. Yes. That was, in fact, at one point, it was the tallest building, Taipei 101. And you wrote Abu Dhabi. Chris wrote Tokyo. And Dana wrote Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. The second tallest building is actually in Shanghai. In Shanghai, China. It is the Shanghai Tower. The Burj Khalifa is 2,700 feet tall. That's crazy tall.
Yeah. How much taller?
Half a mile.
How much taller?
The Shanghai Tower is just a little bit over 2,000 feet.
Okay.
So it's a good bit. It's a good bit second. Yeah. All right. Still a tight game. The spread is only 1 to 3 points.
This is a low point game.
You know, I have to say, I wasn't sure how this one was going to go, but all right. I like that it's competitive. All right, last question, then we'll go into a bonus. So I'll keep it close for everybody. Last question, another sports question. But I know you guys know this because we've talked about it before.
Mm-hmm.
The New York Yankees. Baseball's New York Yankees.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying the sport.
Hold the record for most World Series championships. They have won 27. Okay. 27 of them entering this season. Tell me, what team is number two?
We did talk about this.
This one comes up in trivia for us.
It's almost impossible for them to catch up.
It would take them a long time.
A long time to catch up.
It would take them a long time. It would take them 16 years, in fact, of winning straight.
Straight World Series.
Yes. So with 11 World Series championships, what team is sitting at number two? Just channel the force, Dana. It's maybe stuck to the bottom of the punch bowl under the ladle. It might be like hiding.
It might be like melted to the side. Get it off.
Okay. Answers up. Chris says the San Francisco Giants. Dana says the Chicago White Sox. Karen says Chicago. The second city.
I have the right team.
It doesn't matter.
Oh,
either one. I'll give you the blanket answer. It is in fact the St. Louis Cardinals.
I had a C in mind. And I just went directly to Chicago.
I could kind of imagine the line drawing of the icon.
Chicago, yes, has two. There's Chicago Cubs and the Chicago White Sox. Yes.
Oh,
I thought it was red, but I was like, it's not the Red Sox.
I love that so many of these are like my second choice. It makes so much sense for a weird number two quiz. All right. So because I like to keep things fun and close, I will have one bonus question here you guys worth 2 points. Mm. So theoretically,
if Chris gets this point, Karen wins.
For two possible points. You guys are all Harry Potter fans, so I chose a Harry Potter related question as a possible tiebreaker, but we'll make this the bonus. All right, for 2 points. So, all right, with over 100 million copies sold, Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone is the top-selling book in the Harry Potter series.
Okay.
Not surprising. It's the first one. It is the highest selling by a good sight, by almost 40 million copies-ish. All right. Okay. Which, for 2 points, tell me, which sequel in the Harry Potter series is actually the second best selling? And I'll give you a hint.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be the one you think it is. So I will need the full novel name for this, but I know you guys all know that, whatever your answer is. Yes.
Oh, man.
For 2 points and possibly the game.
Okay.
Oh, really? All right.
Okay, answer's up. All right. Dana says Goblet of Fire, number four. Karen says Half-Blood Prince, which is number six. Chris says Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, number 6. Karen and Chris are correct. It is, in fact, number 6, the penultimate Potter novel.
Second place. Yeah. Tied with Karen for a second place. I did it on purpose in order to win. Game theory. Okay.
Well played.
My initial guess was Goblet of Fire because I remember that was like mania.
That's when I came on board with Goblet of Fire.
Yeah, and a big plot point happens in Half-Blood Prince. Mm. But like a lot of people want to own that
book.
I picked Half-Blood Prince because that was really like internet com. Because when Order of the Phoenix came out, it was 2003.
Yeah.
There were still a lot of people who were like, is it safe to buy things on the internet? Half-Blood Prince, it was like Amazon did release day delivery with Half-Blood Prince.
2005, I believe.
Yeah. So it was really in that sweet spot.
That's
why I picked that.
I just guessed that
I could be wrong.
Chris and Karen would know the answer to this because they're bigger Harry Potter fans. So I was like, I'll just put when I got on board with Harry Potter.
Sure.
I love it. All right. Well, with the most points on the paper, Chris, but this the spiritual winner in second place. Dana and Karen.
Yeah.
All right, good job. We're number two. Woo!
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
All right, my turn. I have a quick quiz here. We love talking about colors. A couple episodes, like color names. And so what I did was I found all the funny sounding colors to me that are might be a little bit weird or obscure that most people don't know. I'm going to say the name of the color, and you have to write down what you think that color is.
Okay.
You have to describe that color.
Okay. Okay.
I had this exact same idea for a quiz. That's crazy.
Really?
I was standing in the shower before I chose my number two. I'm like, what if I do
wait,
like...
Wait, for this episode?
For this exact episode when I was brainstorming. Wow. I was like, oh, I could do like fancy color name, and you tell it like what family it is.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It takes but I didn't 190 do it. I didn't, episodes yeah. for you to have
I didn't do any research or anything. Wow. That's okay. Amazing.
So for example, I think in past episodes we talked about cool colors like puce and chartreuse.
Yeah.
A lot of colors in general are named after a plant. Whether if it's they get their dye or it looks like that plant. Mm-hmm. Some of these are plants, some of these are not. But I want you guys to write down the what you think the family of colors it's in. And maybe, you know, if you want to describe kind of the way of thinking.
Okay.
Some of these you can kind of guess. Some of them just sound really funny. So without further ado, let's start with our first color, which is puke.
Puke.
Puke. Try to describe the color puke.
Can you spell that?
P-U-K-E, puke.
I feel like that would be a different color from barf. Like if you asked me what color that was.
Or vomit.
Yeah, vomit's a different color too.
Puke. It may mean what you think it means or it may not.
Okay.
All right, answer's up. Chris, greenish. Dana says pea green. Wow. Colin says green base with strong gold/brown overtone. Someone's a designer. Puke is actually a dark brown color, but does not refer to vomit puke. It refers to, and this was quoted in Shakespeare for some of his plays, puke was an old name for a woolen fabric in England. So it's kind of like rugged,
okay,
fabric,
earth, so just kind of earthy.
Yeah.
Okay.
What are you working on today on your loom? Oh, I'm making some puke.
I'm making a puke napkin. Yeah. All right. Next color.
Puke sweater.
Mikado. Mikado.
Can you spell that, Karen?
M-I-K-A-D-O.
Oh.
Much like the opera.
I'm glad you asked for the spelling. I was imagining like M-E-C-A-D-O.
How would you actually pronounce that in Japanese?
Mikado.
Mikado.
Mikado. Yeah.
All right, answer is up. Chris says purple or whatever. purple or whatever. Dana says red, and Colin says reddish orange. It is yellow. I tried to look for the origin, and I couldn't find it.
Well, their yellow has been a royal,
Asian imperial
color. Yep, yeah, yep. So maybe.
Next color, and here's a hint. Dana might know this one because of her connections with a certain person from a certain country.
Okay.
All right. The color is Falu. F-A-L-U.
Oh, the pressure is on.
I think this might be my new favorite color name. Falu. I'm sure I'm pronouncing it wrong.
I have never heard it before, so.
All right.
We went the opposite direction.
Chris is just trolling. Chris says, red with red spots. Dana says, blue. Colin says, gold. And the clue is because Dave's fiance is from Sweden, and you guys just named colors of the flag.
That's exactly what I did. Oh.
It is a deep red shade.
Chris.
So yes! Chris is Chris. Actually right. Red with red spots.
Chris is accidentally right.
This is the color they use to paint the barns in the Swedish city of Falun.
Wow.
Yes. So, like, which is interesting because in the U.S. or in America, we associate barns with the color red
barn
as well.
Red, yeah.
Because this is, for them, it's Falu red.
Falu red.
Barn red. Barn Falu, I mean. Hmm. All right. Next color is Labrador. Labrador.
Labrador.
Is your happy dog or the area Labrador or something else? Man. It was named for a thing, named after a thing that shared this color.
Oh.
I think I know.
Well, once again, I'm not sure if that would have changed my...
I think I know, but I don't think I know the color of the thing.
You think you know, but you have no idea.
I think I might know the thing, but I don't think I know the color of the thing.
All right. Chris says, Old Yeller. Dana says, green. And Colin says, chocolatey brown. Chocolate lamb.
Like a dog.
No idea. It is, actually, Dana is closer. It is a bluish, pale kind of grayish blue, named after the mineral labradorite. Labradorite.
Okay.
It was plaid.
It's like a turquoisey color.
Okay.
Right. Two more. Coquelicot.
What? I'm gonna need a spelling on that, please.
Coat.
Make coquelicot. Maybe we get a spelling.
Coquette. Potato coquette. C-O-Q-U-E-L-I-C-O-T. Coquelicot. Coquelicot.
Coquelicot.
What language do you think it's from? That language is word for something.
Something specific.
Yeah. That we use to describe a color as well.
Yeah.
All right. Chris says, sickly pink like a bad prom dress. Coquelicot. Okay. Dana says, orange and you say, Colin says, red / brown. It is poppy. It is a bright red, orange color.
Okay. Yeah, I put orangey red. I crossed out the red part.
So yes, lots of Monet paintings. Actually, the title of the painting is Coquelicot, and it's the poppy.
Yeah,
it feels a poppy.
I feel like I should know that.
Mm. All right, I know. All right, last question. I love this word.
Right.
Full vis.
Wow.
F-U-L-V-O-U-S.
This is like a medical...
That is a good word.
Fulvous. Like,
bulbous.
To me, it sounds like you're either really, really angry, or it's like an organ.
Yeah,
by your butt.
Sounds biological.
By your butt.
Fulvous. And it's used in science a lot. It's used in science a lot. I'm scared to just read Chris's answer.
Yeah, it's a novel.
the longer they get, yeah.
All right, answer's up. Chris says, this actually was the color of the dress worn by my prom date, Louise Plotz. Was that really?
Was that her name?
Prom date?
Oh, okay.
Did you even go to prom?
That's a fair question.
What's the answer?
Yes. Okay.
It was her sister, Helen Plotz.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Dana says blue-green, and Colin says purpley-red.
Mm.
It is a butterscotch color.
Huh.
And it's used to describe birds and birds and birds. Lots of birds. Bird had that. Yeah, it's like a butterscotch brown. Fulvous owl.
That's a great term.
So a lot of insect and a lot of, yeah, just that tawny.
All right.
Fulvous.
Fulvous.
Yeah. So it's like the color you think Labrador might be.
Yeah.
Right.
A tanner version. Oh, chocolatey brown. All right. Good job, you guys.
Calling all kids in the car. Brittany and Meredith here from the chart-topping Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast. Are you dreading another silent car ride with the fam? We've got the cure. Three rounds of fresh trivia every single week. Movies, music, even science and Disney. We've got something for every trivia buff in the car. No more crickets chirping on those long journeys. The Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast is your secret weapon for connecting and laughing with kids of all ages, teens, toddlers, adults, it doesn't matter. Spark their curiosity and challenge their brains with every episode. New episodes drop weekly wherever you get your podcasts. Search for the Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast and turn those car rides into epic adventures.
Okay, I have a quiz for you guys. It's called, also known as quiz. So I'll give you a musician's real name and the name of one of their albums that seems like it was describing them or something like that. For example, Annie Mae Bullock is simply the best. And then that is, do you guys know who?
Tina Turner.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Sure. Oh, man.
And you guys buzz in with your answers?
Okay.
It's a buzz in.
They write it down and everything. Okay.
All right.
I'm ready.
These are all musicians.
They're all musicians. Okay. They're all very well-known musicians.
I'm the weakest.
All right. Bring it on.
All right. Marvin Leade is braver than we are. Chris.
Meatloaf.
Yes.
Who actually changed his name to Meatloaf, I believe.
Legally. He's
Meatloaf.
Then what's his last name?
Loaf.
Mr. Loaf.
No, actually, no. I'm kidding.
No, I think it's
kidding.
One word, right?
No. His name is Meatloaf A Day.
Oh,
yes.
Three words.
Mr. A Day.
Yes.
He has a meatloaf a day. All right. William James Adams Jr. has willpower. Colin.
Is that Will I Am?
That's Will I Am.
Oh, willpower.
Yes.
Bad.
Farouk Bulsara is also Mr. Bad Guy. Colin.
Farouk Bulsara is better known as Freddie Mercury.
Oh, yes.
That's right.
How about Eleonora Fagan is a lady who sings the blues. Karen.
Etta James.
No. Colin.
Ella Fitzgerald.
No.
Lady Sings the Blues. I mean, there's only other...
Billie Holiday.
I did not know her name was Eleonora Fagan before this.
Billie Holiday was believable.
Yeah, it sounds
it
like
is believable.
Name.
It is believable.
Yeah. That could be your name. Yeah. How about Henry John Deutschendorf Jr. is back home again? Chris.
This is John Denver.
I knew.
Deutschendorf, by the way. Henry John Deutschendorf Jr. Yeah.
Okay.
The late great.
Yeah. Calvin brought us paid the cost to be the boss. Colin.
That's Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg.
Oh!
Was he Snoop Dogg on that album, though? Or is it just...
He was Snoop Dogg.
Okay.
He was only Snoop Lion for like one album.
Okay.
This one is maybe tricky. Eric Bishop is unpredictable.
Oh, Eric Bishop, that sounds familiar.
It does sound familiar. Unpredictable.
I don't know album names.
Eric Bishop.
Justin Bieber.
No. Huh. His name is Justin Bieber. His real name. I can give you a hint. He's also a movie star.
Oh.
In addition to a singer.
What's his name again?
Eric Bishop.
Common?
No. He's not a gold digger.
Jamie Foxx.
Wow.
Jamie Foxx. I didn't know he had a different name.
Jamie Foxx.
I did know that.
Let's do two more. How about this one? Stacey Ann Ferguson is the Duchess. Karen.
Fergie.
This one's not an album, but I really enjoyed this one. It's Leslie Charles wants you to get out of his dreams and get into his car.
is that Billy Ocean?
That's Billy Ocean.
Oh, okay. Again, you know what? That's believable. Like, I would have believed Billy Ocean, but yeah.
That's such a Hollywood name.
Yeah.
What's your name? Billy Ocean.
I guess I'm naive. What's his real name? Charles, what was it?
Leslie Charles.
Leslie Charles.
Yeah. Good job, you guys.
So, sadly, you guys probably heard earlier this week about the passing.
Oh, no.
Of Kenny Baker.
Yeah. R2-D2.
Who played R2-D2 in Star Wars films.
That was very sad to hear that.
And so, I wanted to present everybody with a tribute to the great Mr. Baker and a quiz about the cutest movie robots of all time.
Oh, my God.
Cute robots. Sorry, cute robots from TV movies. Maybe even some novels. Who knows?
Okay.
And your definition of cute may be different from mine.
Exactly. So, yeah. Right. Robots that Chris finds cute. This is how it's going to go. I'm going to ask you a question, and then you will buzz in with your buzzers and give me what is known as an answer.
Okay.
Okay.
Novel.
Yonan Vasquez invented what adorable robot for the cartoon series Invader Zim? Karen.
Grr.
It's Grr.
Ooh.
Grr.
The dog.
Likes to dress in a dog suit.
Yeah. It's actually a robot. He's in a
Very
dog
cute.
Suit.
Which adorable robot starred in a 1986 film with Steve Guttenberg?
Oh. And, Johnny Five?
Johnny Five.
Yeah.
Film, of course, being Short Circuit. Yes. Which 2008 film won the Academy Award for Best Animated Motion Picture? It's Colin.
Is that WALL-E?
It is WALL-E. Best Animated Motion Picture. Question number 4. If you were to get off the Yamanote train line at Takadanobaba Station, what robot's theme song would you hear? Karen.
Astro Boy,
as longtime Good Job Brain listeners might remember.
We went there at Karma San Mateo.
Yeah, we traveled there. Yeah. Fictionally. Which adorable robot hangs around with kids named Nobita and Shizuka?
Robot.
Mm. Karen again.
Doraemon.
Well, trivia for you. A Dora Neko is a stray cat. That's where the
I didn't know that.
Little Ding Dong.
Grew up in Taiwan.
It's Little Ding Dong.
Little Ding Dong.
Cat-like robot.
Yeah. Yep.
With no ears.
That's right. Marvin the Paranoid Android is a character in this series of novels. Well, everybody.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Very good. Doctor Who's robot dog has this incredibly generic two-character name. Everybody?
K-9.
Yes, the character K-9 the character 9 for K-9, which means dog. Dog-like. Where would you go if you wanted to hear a performance by the Rockafire Explosion?
Oh, yeah.
Karen.
Well, YouTube?
No.
Because they still have that.
Today, yes.
Is it Showtime Pizza?
You're so close.
It's like a Midwest pizza place.
Yes, it is. It was a competitor to Chuck E. Cheese. Yeah. Not Chuck E. Cheese. Oh. You know what?
It's Show something.
What do you think it is? It's not Showtime.
No, I don't know.
You know, it's Showbiz Pizza.
Showbiz.
That was very close. Yeah. Showbiz Pizza, the Rockafire Explosion. Showbiz Pizza was bought out by Chuck E. Cheese, and they replaced them all with the Chuck E. Cheese robot.
But they kept the Rockafire.
Somebody bought them.
Yeah.
Yes.
And would program modern songs, so it would perform to modern songs.
The Usher one is so good.
I don't think this is all foreign to me.
You
No.
Right,
We have to watch it.
Okay. Yeah.
It's hypnotizing.
A robot named Jinx was the adorable sidekick to a young Joaquin Phoenix in this 1986 classic. Karen.
Space Camp?
It is Space Camp.
We
were just talking about that.
Yep. They like playing that movie.
That's right.
There.
In 2015, this is a real life question. In 2015, Sony disappointed a few diehard customers when it officially ended customer support for this product. Colin.
That is the Aibo.
The Sony's robot dog.
It was very sad.
They phased him out in 2015.
Sunsetting.
Sunsetted Aibo.
I didn't have one, but they. I remember at the time they had all these like actually like I was gonna say strangely, but not strangely, these touching articles about people who've like had their Aibo for years and years and years, and it's like they're facing the loss of an actual pet. You know, it's like as they see. You know, supporting it, you've got to like go to like third party sources for gears and support and things like that.
It's like, wow.
Yeah.
That's what happens to old dogs.
It was, as I say, it was a touching article. Yeah.
Finally, Haley Joel Osment, when he was cute, played a robot named David in this film. Whoa, everybody.
Artificial intelligence. I just went to the Kubrick exhibit at the Contemporary Jewish Museum here in San Francisco, and I did not know that Stanley Kubrick was supposed to do AI.
He started it.
Yeah, it's kind of flagged as the last Kubrick film, but not really. Yeah.
Hey, Matt, did you know that wombats poop cubes?
Nope, never heard that before.
Did you know the unicorn is the national animal of Scotland, Ken?
I didn't know, nor do I care.
Neil, did you know that Liechtenstein is the only doubly landlocked country in Europe?
Jeff, isn't that an American pop artist?
Well, actually, it's both. If you want to learn things like that and more, join us each week on Triviality, a pub trivia-style game show podcast where a lack of seriousness meets a little bit of knowledge.
Listen in each week to answer general knowledge trivia alongside exciting guests from around the world.
And we're here too.
Join us every Tuesday for new hour-long episodes of Triviality, plus tons of extra theme content on everything from The Office and Lord of the Rings to science and geography.
And sometimes we even do sports.
Find us on all your preferred podcast apps and take part in the fun of playing bar trivia without the need to wear pants.
Real mature, Jeff.
Forget it, Neil. It's Triviality.
All right, I'll end this episode with one of these things. I have done this quiz before, and what I have here is a copy of Dark Stories, the True Crime Edition. This is a card game, and what, you know, it's just a card, and it one side, it gives you a really basic kind of sentence, like a describing a story, and you have to ask me yes and no questions to get the full story.
Okay.
So it's like a lateral thinking puzzle. Yeah. I've done this before.
But the full story is a true story.
Yes. These are all real stories. Some of them are celebrities and some of them are like famous stories that happen in the news.
Ripped from the headlines.
But they're all weird. They're all really weird. So like the statement is very general but intriguing, and then you ask me yes or no questions to try to get the full story.
All right.
So... do we want celebrity or weird? We can only do one.
I say weird.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, weird.
All right. Here it is. The title is Duped.
Okay.
The statement. A shopkeeper's desire to accommodate ruined him and his hair.
A shopkeeper's desire to accommodate ruined him and his hair.
His hair.
I have a question about this story. Does it have anything to do with wind or air?
No.
Was the shopkeeper demonstrating some sort of product?
He was demonstrating something.
Okay.
Was the shopkeeper a barber?
No.
Was the shopkeeper demonstrating something he sells?
No.
Was the shopkeeper demonstrating a service that he performs for someone?
No. A little cut to the chase hint. Shopkeepers, what he shopkeeps is not important.
Did the shopkeeper lose his or her hair through flame or explosion?
No.
Did the shopkeeper lose their hair?
No.
Oh.
Did something happen to the shopkeeper's hair, though?
Yes.
Yes.
Did the shopkeeper's hair get bleached?
No. This is a crime. Don't forget. This is a crime. So crime is involved.
Hey, you know, I solve crimes in my own way, Karen.
I'll get there.
So he's trying to accommodate someone, and it ruined him and his hair?
Trying to accommodate. Okay, so duped. Duped. Okay, so let's assume the shopkeeper is the one who was duped. Mm-hmm. So
if that's true.
Yeah, was the shopkeeper the one who was duped?
Yes.
Okay.
Was the person he was trying to accommodate the criminal in this situation? Yes. Okay.
Did the criminal escape with an object of value?
Yes.
Including cash.
Sorry. Did the criminal rob the store?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And not important what they stole.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
They robbed.
Okay.
Did the shopkeeper die?
No.
Was the shopkeeper blinded?
Yes.
Was the shopkeeper blind?
No.
No.
Did the shopkeeper obstruct his own vision? Like blindfold himself or blind himself?
No. Okay. His view was obstructed.
Oh.
Okay.
So, you know what I mean? So there's like two.
So did the criminal trick the shopkeeper into obstructing his own view?
Correct.
Okay.
Did the criminal trick the shopkeeper into obstructing his own view with some sort of like glue or substance that would get all into his hair also?
Was the substance a glue?
No.
Was the substance a paint?
No.
Was the substance sticky?
Yes.
Was it gum?
No.
Was it tar?
No.
Was the substance a poison of some kind?
No. Nope. Was it maple syrup?
Is it something you could eat?
Oh, was it molasses?
Yes.
Her face lit up and said no. Okay, so it was molasses. I cannot get to how did the criminal trick the guy into putting molasses on his head?
Was the shopkeeper's head ever in a barrel of molasses?
No.
Was molasses poured on the shopkeeper's head?
No.
Did the criminal trick the shopkeeper into putting molasses on his hands and then subsequently putting his hands on his face?
Accommodate. The shopkeeper wanted to accommodate this guy. So he must have come up with some kind of question or like, you know, demonstrate. Because the shopkeeper was demonstrating something, right?
Right. To accommodate.
I don't know. I don't know how we're going to...
All right. So molasses is involved, trying to accommodate.
Here's a hint.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
There's an article of clothing involved.
Is it something he wears on his head?
Yes.
Is it a hat?
Yes.
Okay. So there's a hat involved.
You guys have all the key pieces down.
Accommodate, hat, blinded, molasses.
Was it molasses in the hat?
Molasses. Yes.
Okay.
Did he put the hat on his head?
Did the guy know that there was molasses in the hat? The shopkeeper?
Yes.
The shopkeeper knew there was molasses in the hat? Did he put it on his head anyway?
Did the criminal in some way challenge or bet with the shopkeeper
that he'd
be able to get the molasses?
Here's the story.
Molasses hat. The classic, like, I bet you
the old molasses hat.
I bet you can't staple your hand to the wall.
Right.
Yeah. The shop owner was a victim of the molasses gang who in the 1870s would enter small shops in New York and play a mean trick. Several members of the gang would enter the store and one of them would ask the shopkeeper to fill his hat with molasses in order to settle a bet about how much the hat would hold. When the shopkeeper accommodated the strange request by filling the hat to the brim, the crook would then pull the hat over the shopkeeper's head while the shopkeeper's eyes filled with sticky syrup, the gang would rob him and his shop blind.
So he wouldn't put...
Oh, my goodness.
There
what
you go.
What a like... mean-spirited gang of... Yeah.
Well, at least they didn't use violence.
But it's so...
That was pretty violent.
It's kind of violent.
Yeah.
But, like, it's just so... It's also so classic and old-timey.
Yeah, it is. Yes. We love molasses on the show.
It's so like, oh, Grandpa, you're so funny.
Yes. Molasses in your hat.
The old molasses haberdashery 1-2.
Yeah. All right. Good job, guys. Wow, I'm surprised you guys... Oh it's got God. That one was the harder
kind of
one
ridiculous.
Of the two.
Should we do another one?
No, we don't have time.
Oh, okay, all right.
All right, and that's our show. Thank you guys for joining me, and thank you guys, listeners, for listening in. Hope you had fun today learning about colors, learning about real names, cute robots, and more. You can find our show on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spotify, and on our website, goodjobbrain.com. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.